Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of February 18th, 2020. And this is episode 425. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live right here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And tonight, I know it's winter time, I know it's February, but you're going to want to grab your SPF 80 because we're headed to the beach. We're going to head to Mexico. We're going to head to Florida. Well, we're also going to head to Scotland. It's not very warm up there, but we're still going to be at the beach. And we're even going to head into the sandy terrain of Nevada all tonight. So, yeah, get on your flip-flops, your SPF 80, your little sun hat there, and get ready to take a trip into the paranormal. Here on the Paranormal News Insider, brought to you by ParanormalKing.com. And yeah, the news is it's kind of weird. It kind of goes in waves. I know. I guess it's the beach theme tonight. Yes, that was supposed to be a joke. It goes in waves. Yes, sometimes we have a lot of news. Sometimes we don't have a lot of news. And sometimes the news is exciting and not so exciting. But we do have some exciting news tonight for a change, I guess. I don't know. I think it's been a pretty decent year so far in stuff. But you're always waiting for that giant dramatic story to drop. And, you know, we had the drone story earlier this year. It was kind of a layover from last year. But so far, nothing really major. No giant UFO sighting that's garnered a lot of attention. And no major cryptid sightings other than the one in Ohio. But I'm not that excited about that. I think that's not what it's advertised to be. And I think a lot of people agree with that. But we do have some good news for you tonight. So maybe some scary news and maybe some news that you're going to maybe bang your head against the wall to hear. I don't know. But I just reported. You guys can react however you want. But let's see. We have some little bitty announcements. I do want to talk about the paranormal conferences conventions. I know some people don't like it, but I love it. I think it's a great thing to talk about these events and to kind of, you know, tip the hat there to some of these groups and organizations that are putting these on. It's not easy. I did my own event a couple of years ago. It's a lot of work to put one on, and it already had helped people for a number of years do certain aspects of putting on one of these conventions, and I've given a lot of advice and information. It's still hard to do, even when you know what you're doing. So many things to do. So a tip of the cap to all those people out there that put on these conferences and conventions year in, year out, or even just a one-off type of thing out there. So I do have a list of conferences and conventions, in case you weren't aware, on my homepage there at paranewsinsider.com. You can click on the events tab up there at the top, a little bit to the left, right between home and news up there at the top. And there's a little picture of me up there. And you can see ghost conferences, conventions, UFO events, as well as cryptid events. I try to separate them into those three major categories, although some events eclipse all three. Some do too, but I try to put them in the major category in which they are covering those events. So the latest event added to the calendar thus far is the 10th annual Arkansas Paranormal Expo. This event takes place October 3rd and 4th at the MacArthur Museum of Arkansas Military History in Little Rock, Arkansas. Make a song about that, Little Rock? Colin Ray, I think. I don't know who did, but this event will have speakers, again, from the ghost, cryptid, and UFO fields. I had a hard time figuring out where I was going to park this one, so I put it in all three. I figured, you know what? I run the site. I can do what I want, and I did what I want. So it's in all three categories. I think it deserves that because it's pretty balanced, and you don't really usually see that. Usually an event is mostly ghost, and then it might have one UFO guy and that token cryptid dude. I'm generally that token cryptid dude. That's why I can say that. But This event is pretty staggered out pretty evenly, just as the event I put on a couple of years ago was. I try to have two from each category the best I could. Also, don't forget the Mysteries of the Universe Conference 2020 in Kansas City, Missouri. I mentioned this one last week. It's covering all things UFO, and that takes place May 15th and 16th, 2020. The event is sponsored in part by Missouri MUFON, and hopefully I'm going to be doing a private event, a Skype conference with their Kansas City MUFON branch, but you guys won't be able to watch that unless you go to that event. Sounds like fun. I talk a lot about MUFON on here. Sometimes not so nice things, but you know, what are you going to do? Until somebody else can step up to the plate and do what they're doing, you have to give them the nod that you can, because you know, I think they could do things differently, but overall, they're kind of the big dogs in the house right now. Until somebody else comes up and does that, so. What else do we got? Well, I do have some, gosh, only one event here, it looks like, in February. The Rochester Winter Parafest 2020 takes place February 29th. Yes, this is a leap year, through March 1st in Rochester, New York. So anybody that posted those pictures in the beginning of the year saying, oh, I have 365 days to do, no, you're wrong. It's 366 this year. Enjoy your extra day. It only comes once every 4 years. You only get so many of those in your lifetime. I mean, you should really try hard every day, I guess, but this is an extra bonus day. So don't just sit around watching Netflix. Go out and do something. Anyway, we have news, don't we? I think we have news somewhere. Oh, one more last bit of appearance information. So tonight, following the show, 9 o'clock Eastern time, I will be appearing on the Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio program. I'll be talking about the Ohio Grassman and what makes them different than Bigfoot. Also, a lot of kind of historical sightings here in the state of Ohio about the Grassman and the Bigfoot and all those creepy creatures, as well as kind of comparing different things all throughout the United States. Of what it has to do with Bigfoot, kind of in a little half hour. I call it kind of a monologue. I think I used that term during the show, a monologue. And hopefully, I kind of pre-wrote that. So if I get around to it, I know I say that a lot. If I get around to it, I'll put that out on a blog entry sooner, later, hopefully sooner than later. Because you guys know how that goes. But hopefully I'll be doing that soon. I think that's going to be really interesting. So if you enjoy Bigfoot, Grassman, or anything else, head on over to BigfootEyewitness.com. Following the program tonight, if you're listening live at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. If not, I'll hopefully have a link to the archive of that show, and I'll post that on my feeds later on, my feeds, my socials. Is that what the kids call it? My socials. Follow my socials. So social media, I have Facebook. So facebook.com/Paranews Insider. Twitter, @Paranews Insider. You could just search for Paranews Insider, I guess. And those two are intertwined. They're as one. They're intermingled into each other. So if you follow one or the other, don't fear. You're going to get the same information. Anything I post on Facebook goes to Twitter, so you can get all that same information. And also with all these stories, too. So I'll post links during the program into the chat room, because Dita would not have it any other way. So I'll share that information with you guys in the chat room. That's a benefit of listening live. Also has some fancy schmancy pictures as well. So you're going to miss out on those pictures that I've created. Or that I've stolen, I guess. Stolen is probably a better word. Borrowed. I borrowed them. I'll give them back when I'm done. From the intranet. Well, the internet, I guess. So, yeah, follow me. Follow these stories. Follow this information. And I know you probably follow paranormal news sites, and you get links to stuff. And, you know, I do read some of that, but I also do some digging. I do some research, and sometimes I'll go to an original source where sometimes some of these other things, these other places, they'll post different links that whatever pops up is big or the first one they see or hear about these stories. But I dig down. I do a little research on these things. So kind of talk about that. A question in the chat room before I get started into the actual well, let me finish this first. So, yeah, Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio tonight talking about the Ohio Grassman, BigfootEyewitness.com. Tonight, Tuesday, February 18th, 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you're listening to the show as an archive or later on as a podcast, you missed it. But again, I'll be posting that link at a later time. So question in the chat room, is the coronavirus paranormal? That's an interesting question because of right now they don't know exactly where it came from. I know a lot of people early on were spreading rumors and videos of people eating, were they eating spiders or something? Well, that didn't even happen in China. That happened in Indonesia, and it happened 3, 4, 5 years ago, something like that. So nobody really knows. But I don't think viruses are really paranormal. They could be. But it's just... You know, it's funny, though. Every year, is it just me? Is it maybe I'm just thinking this? But it seems like every single year, there's something that we all have to fear that comes out. I mean, SARS came out beginning of the year, too. It was something. We had, you know, this virus. We've had other viruses and things. We had Ebola, last year. And sometimes it's other threats. We've had... nuclear threats, and it just seems like every year there's like that big fearful thing that, especially here in the United States, that they pump through the news, and we're supposed to be scared about it. So I don't know. It's just weird. I know there's a meme out there somewhere that shows year by year all these things that came out in the beginning of the year. I don't know. Maybe it's true. It just gives us something to worry about, I guess. But coronavirus is a serious thing. It's really and truly though. Coronavirus is a normal virus. It's just this is a strain of a coronavirus. So it's not, when you say coronavirus, it's basically that covers regular flu. So it's, I don't know. I took virology in college and because I love those movies. You ever read those books and see those movies on the virus stuff? It's just fascinating how we could all be wiped out by Ebola pretty much in a week. So when that happened, I was a little nervous. But the good thing is maybe this is not good, but people die quick, which is actually good because then you can't infect other people quickly. And that's the bad thing about this thing taking 14 days to incubate. And that's why it's continued to stir and press on. But, you know, there's a lot of debate about what's paranormal and not. Like I was talking about the clown pandemic a couple of years ago, and some people were saying, you know, that's not really... It's not really paranormal, but I covered it anyway. But yeah, I agree. Ebola is no joke. It's some pretty serious stuff. And what it does to your body is extremely, extremely scary. And I don't think it got a lot of respect when it happened here. We had people infected here in the United States and people were coming here. I don't think it got the respect that it what this virus can do to people. I mean, it's pretty much one of the most serious things that you could ever get. But it's weird how they already seem to have something to give us a shot for it, which is kind of weird. It came out of nowhere. Anyway, let's jump into the news tonight. We've got cryptid news, and we have, unfortunately, some very sad news to start off the program with. I know I hate doing this, but sometimes this is just the way things happen. So very sad news to report. Last week, I did report that the Loch Ness Monster had just had its first official sighting of the year, officially documented in Gary Campbell's register, the whole nine yards. But sadly, that's so hard to say. I don't know how to approach this, but I'll just say it the best I can. But now it seems that many people think that the Loch Ness Monster has died. That's right. The Loch Ness Monster has passed away. I don't know how old it is, but yes, this isn't the first time people have thought that Nessie has died. But this one, this time, there's physical proof. Well, potential physical proof. A few years ago, we had an entire calendar year that passed by with no official sightings, believe it or not. No actual official sightings of waves or anything that could be misconstrued into the Loch Ness Monster. So a lot of people were saying that Nessie died. But all of a sudden, a big surge in sightings, and she's back. Loch Ness Monster returns. And I always call her she. I don't know. Nessie. I don't know if it's a guy's name. I don't know. We've got to get, I guess we'll have to get in the water and look under the kilt one day. Anyway, Storm Kiara. Here's another kind of strange enigma wrapped inside of a mystery here. Kiara. I don't know why they call it Kiara. It's the first time I ever heard this. It's like, what about that Sierra thing? I know they're talking about Kiara, but whatever happened to Sierra? I thought they were dealing with Sierra Storm. But I guess they pronounce it Kiara. That's weird to me. But the other weird thing is these storms. You know, we had a storm sweep across the United States from the Pacific Northwest. It got a name. It swept down kind of south of where I'm here in Ohio and ended up pushing back up into the northern part of the United States, out into the Atlantic, and ended up becoming this really bad storm. Heavy, heavy winds, heavy, super heavy rain. Lots of flooding, and it battled the United Kingdom and Ireland over the weekend of February 8th and 9th. Really bad weather, really weird. And now they're dealing with another storm behind it. Kind of, I don't want to say unprecedented, but just kind of weird weather for them. So the storm ultimately killed 13 people as it brought heavy winds and heavy rains again to the United Kingdom, Ireland, and even Western Europe. But the spooky and paranormal thing about this is that it also deposited a giant skeleton on the shores of Aberdeen, Scotland, on the northeastern side of the country. And if you don't believe me, I got pictures to prove it. So if you're in the chat room about ready to deposit my own picture of what some people fear could be the Loch Ness Monster. So, man, you might want to take your kids out of the room here to see this. Actually, there's a kid in the picture. Believe it or not. So there's a picture of this giant skeleton. Ginormous. Huge. Oh, really, not really. I mean, if you have a link to this picture, you can see this picture in the chat room. You see this person standing there all triumphantly like they killed this thing themselves. It's actually a child, so it's not a big person. It's a child. Yes, if you're in the chat room, you can click on the image to view it in another window. Well, I don't know why I'm repeating that, because they can read that themselves. But anyway, there's a kid standing there behind the skeleton. So if anybody remembers the Hogzilla incident a number of years ago, this young boy killed this giant pig out in the wild, this wild hog. Somewhere down south, because they're all over the place. They're here in Ohio, too. But I killed this giant hog, and people were saying, wow, that's ginormous. But then people were pointing out that this was what's called forced perspective. So the person being behind it gives it a scale that's inappropriate, really, because they're behind it. So it's making it look bigger than what it is. And I think that's a little bit what we're looking here. I've not seen any official measurements to the size of this thing, but it's rumored to be, again, the Loch Ness Monster could be. Oh, dear. Oh, my. She's gone. So a photograph of this large skeleton with the person standing next to it created a big stir in social media after it was posted. Where else? Facebook. Of course. It was posted to FUBAR News of North Scotland's Facebook page. The photo generated a lot of speculation, and the media quickly jumped in on it. I mean, they've got nothing else to talk about this time of the year. I mean, flooding and people, you know, out of house and home, and they're what do they call them out there? They don't call them houses. They call them flats. Flats. It's kind of weird. I thought that was a women's shoe. But anyway, Yeah, nothing else to talk about, I guess. So let's talk about the skeleton, of course. Got nothing going on weather-wise. The Liverpool Echo newspaper, because, again, they got nothing to report on either. They ran a poll asking its readers what they thought the skeleton was from. The largest percentage at 44% felt the skeleton wasn't real, that it was nothing more than a publicity stunt. Another 41% thought it was the remains of a whale. That's crazy. 8% feel it's the Loch Ness Monster. So, you know, they use these big headlines, but in fact, it was only 8%. And 7%, I think this is even crazier that people are believing this. That I'll give it to them. 7% think this is, it's not Nessie, but it is a dinosaur. A dinosaur with bones. I don't think that happens. I'm not sure that's the way things work in nature. I could be wrong. No, I'm not wrong. So let's see. I want to make sure the poll is still, yep, poll's still there. All right. So updated results of the poll now show that the majority of voters, 43% feel it's a whale. And 42% still think it's a publicity stunt. I mean, again, what's to gain from a publicity stunt after a major storm tore your country apart? I don't understand the logic in that. And well, I guess it's social media. You can't always believe what you see on Facebook. I mean, I do. I mean, everything's accurate, 100%. Jeez, publicity stunts. Nessie. Still is 8% and 7%, both of the 7% thinking it is a dinosaur. So those remain unchanged. But the whale hypothesis is now beat out the publicity stunt. It's silly either way. But yeah, publicity stunt. I don't know what we have time for out there. But yikes. I mean, really, okay, let's just clarify this. So a dinosaur would not show up, especially on the beach like that, as bones. I mean, the remains of dinosaurs that we see are actually fossilized rock, not bones. And those look like bones to me. And if I threw a little bone-eating animal out there, he would have a nice lunch. Possums, whatever else eats them. But yeah, it's pretty big, and a lot of people were actually speculating. I saw somebody wrote gator in there. Well, croc, yes. People actually thought this was a saltwater crocodile because of the way that tail is. But I don't know. That would be kind of spooky that a saltwater crocodile was all the way up there in the cold waters off the coast of Scotland. So I don't think that that's the culprit either. I'm pretty sure it's probably just a whale of some sort, portion of a whale. Small whale of some sort. I mean, that's pretty much, you look at that bone structure, the way the flat bones there are on the back, that's pretty much whale type stuff. So so again, you have the person that you see in that picture, that's a child. So in the FUBAR news story, there was a lot of joking going on in the comments. There was also mentions of local officials already stating the corpse of a whale had been seen in the area. So that pretty much probably explains it. I don't know. People are always fascinated by strange things washing ashore, even if there's a rational explanation. And typically people jump to wild conclusions about what the creature might have been and where it came from. We had 2008. We had the Montauk Monster, and everybody thought that this thing came from it was some sort of DNA altered creature that was from some kind of place where they worked on these animals and created genetic freaks and all these other things. But no. So there's a link there in the chat room to that story if you need something to read to fall asleep tonight, I think. So the same weekend, and again, yeah, people are really fascinated by these strange things being deposited on beaches all over the place. I don't know what it is, but we seem to have a few every year, especially this time of the year. It's cold in the northern hemisphere, so we do have a lot of mass animal die-offs, and this is also the same time of the year that we had started talking about the aphalocalypse a number of years ago, where there was mass animal die-offs being reported all over the place, pretty much mostly the United States, but also in Europe and United Kingdom, all over the world, of mass animal die-offs. It happens. It happens, especially this time of the year. The weather gets cold, food is scarce, the weather is really cruddy all over the place. It happens. But the same weekend as the strange creature was seen on the Scottish shore, another strange creature was seen on the beaches of Mexico and did not have sunblock on. And it was... I don't know. Is it a little bit more intact? I guess that's the word I was searching for. A little bit more intact, but still just as mysterious as this one in Scotland. So people were walking along a beach about a dozen miles or so northwest of the Puerto Vallarta, Mexico area. They're along the beach. Of course, that's on the western part of Mexico. So if you're looking at the map, it's on the left side. On the left side there, on, of course, the Pacific coast, so the Pacific Ocean, when they spotted something dead on the beach. It's a fairly common occurrence if you've ever walked on the beach. It's always fun to see what's dead. And, of course, you always have to find a stick so you can poke at it. When they saw the creature, they initially thought it might be a dead dolphin from a distance. But as they got closer, they realized it's not a dolphin. It's an extremely weird-looking dolphin. It had an extremely long tail to it. No fins. So no dorsal fin. No, what are those things called on the side? I don't know. Fins, I guess. They had no eyes either. So there's no eyes, no fins, an extremely long tail. This creature also had a mouth full of long, sharp teeth to go along with it. If it wasn't scary enough, it had all that stuff too. So again, chat room, watch out. Here comes your Mexican creature flying into the chat room. And I have, there's two pictures of it basically. So what I've done is I put both pictures together. Don't think it wants to work for whatever reason. Oh, success. So we've got, there it is. Probably posted it 19 times. Okay, so there you have on the left is this entire creature. Almost looks to me almost like a baby dolphin that was just not developed correctly or something. I don't know. It looks just weird. And then there on the right, you see the whole mouthful of teeth. No eyes on this weird dolphin-shaped creature. Of course, it's only dolphin-shaped on the top. And a lot of speculation. A lot of people said they could not be identified by fishermen. There's some stuff left, or I should say lost in translation, between what was reported in the Puerto Vallarta area, Mexico City, and then how it was translated here in the United States. But yeah, Google Translate, don't trust it. Doesn't do a really good job. It guesses a lot. So you got to read between the lines sometimes. So yeah, a lot of speculation. This creature was some sort of alien or some genetic experiment or something. Of course. That's what we always jump to because that's probably the most logical conclusion, right? No, it's not. So looking at this creature, there was also some sharp-eyed people that said, well, you know, since it doesn't have eyes, it's probably a creature that lives at various depths of the ocean. So it's probably one of those deep water creatures, has no need for sight, which this does happen. Animals do evolve with no eyes. So it's probably the most likely explanation. This creature probably just died and eventually made its way to the top and eventually made its way to the shores of Puerto Vallarta. Probably looking for something nice to drink. I would imagine something with an umbrella. But I haven't heard word on if this creature was taken for identification. And if it was any sort of anybody could tell what this was. I've seen creatures similar to this, but not so defined as the dolphin head type of thing. So not sure exactly what it is, but I don't think it's an alien. Pretty sure it's just a fish. But it's interesting that it does kind of look dolphin-like, but it's also eel-like as well. So yes, again, people fascinated by this creature, but luckily people found it before it started to deteriorate or turn into bones, because there would have been even more speculation as to what it could have been, of course. And of course, I will take that link and deposit it into the chat room gently. Oh, so gently. And you can do whatever you want with it, really. It's okay. So there's a link to that. It's got to be a deep sea thing. I do agree with that speculation. And now we head to from the beaches of Puerto Vallarta to the sandy area of Nevada. Not quite Las Vegas. I don't have the money for that. So let's go a little west of Vegas, out in the middle of nowhere. There's a little base out there, isn't there? I think. So UFO news. Yes, Area 51. It's back. Area 51 is back in the news. And yes, it's true. If you've heard the rumors, the biggest little event to ever hit Nevada outside Las Vegas is back. The search for Dem aliens is back for a repeat. Yes, that's right. It is Alien Stock 2.0. Whoa. You don't seem so excited. I thought you guys would be really excited about this. I guess not. Well, that's right. The viral event of 2019 is back in Rachel, Nevada. And this year, it didn't start on Facebook. No. It started on the Little Alien website. So the Little Alien has announced on its website very informally. It's very informal. It's actually not very good. It's really not a good written website. It's really horrible. It's really horrible. They did announce on its website that Rachel Alien Stock. So now it's called the Rachel Alien Stock, not just Alien Stock. This isn't just your typical everyday Alien Stock. No, no, no. It's the Rachel Alien Stock 2020 will take place this year from September 10th through the 12th. So it's a little earlier. It's going to be a little warmer. Yay. So September 10th through the 12th at the Little Alien Grounds. So rent your room. Get it now. Get it quick. I'm sure it's selling out fast. I'm sure there's going to be an estimated 300,000 people to be in. No. No, I think I read that wrong. 30 people? Probably more like it. So no further information is available about the event other than that was just randomly posted on this website. I don't think there's been any information anywhere out there about this. But I'm sure, you know, crowds, they're going to be lined up as far as the eye can see to get into this event. I mean, just like last year, it's just going to be crazy. The National Guard, the whole nine yards, it's going to be off the chains. Probably not. Well, not really. The event last year was pretty much a bust from what was expected, especially in the media, generating all kinds of end-of-the-world scenarios with this. Hundreds of people dying and baking in the heat and having frostbite at night. I mean, there's just so much drama in the news, and it turned out to really be a big disappointment. There's probably more media people out there, or people covering this event for Facebook, or I should say for YouTube, and for regular news channels than actual participants in this, wearing funny clothes, crazy clothes, and that one lady with the silver G-string thing. That was, you know, it was about it. Really, it was probably more media than actual people, and it makes me wonder what's going to happen this year. How many people are really going to waste their time and money and effort to get out there when it really has nothing to do with anything viral? This is a holdover. And if last year didn't go off very well, what makes a carbon copy of something that flopped? How is that going to be anything bigger and better? I mean, the bust itself, I think this event would have been pretty popular had it not been for the stories about the shaky infrastructure and also the near last minute pullout of the original event advertiser, Matty Roberts. I think that really kind of pulled the wind out of the sails there, especially the last couple of seconds, 2 weeks prior. I think it was 2 weeks out from the event. So I think a lot of people kind of changed their minds. Despite a number of vehicle accidents, arrests, dehydrated people, yes, the event is purported to kick off again this year, only a little earlier than last year. At least we're hearing about it earlier, so people can maybe make plans. I don't know. I certainly probably have more better things to do my September 10th through the 12th than go out there. But I'm pretty sure most of the young people that were out there will have no interest in this. As again, it's old news, and it really seems departed from the original idea of storming the base. I mean, there was millions of people that were following the story, and now it's I've not seen it anywhere in the media at all. So I think this is probably going to have a bunch of old people out in RVs, pretty much. They're going to take this thing over. Just hopefully they change the music that they play. Might want to do some Frank Sinatra or something this time. I don't know. But, yes, it's back. Let me post the there's really no story to this. It's just a littlealien.com and their upcoming events tab. It's really kind of really not the way you want to start something like this. If you want this to be a really big thing, you got to have some flair. You got to really do something big. Maybe a Super Bowl commercial might have been the right thing to do or something. I mean, I know that was $5 million to do that. But anyway. Yeah, what else we got? So we do have another UFO story. This is kind of, I'd say right now, I'd say this is the biggest story out there right now. But it seems like it's underwhelmed. I don't know if it's because it's really new and people aren't really talking about it yet, or people are just tired of hearing about all this, or the fact that the story is like really, really confusing. But let me try to do the best I can to kind of smooth it out for you. So Popular Mechanics, I always thought it was just like a magazine for old people about tools and stuff. But apparently they're on the cutting edge of what's going on out here in the world. So they've published some new documents discovered recently that shows the U.S. government was doing some investigating and research into UFOs and related phenomena. Other information released from unknown sources to Popular Mechanics also refutes information released late last year. And I remember covering that story that Luis Elizondo, who is now with the To the Stars Academy, was the leader of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, also known as ATIP. The government, basically a spokesperson from the Pentagon, says that, nope, Elizondo had nothing to do with ATIP, and that ATIP had nothing to do with UFOs or UAPs, which is Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. So all this buildup since 2017, which is when the ATIP was revealed to the world back in 2017 through the New York Times. So they had uncovered information surrounding the $22 million program. It was thought to be a secret UFO research program. And since then, the government had admitted that the program did research UAPs. Again, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. It's the new UFO. It's the 2020 version or the 2000s version of this. But again, late last year, claims that ATIP did not investigate these types of crafts came out, along with pretty much denouncing that Elizondo had anything to do with ATIP, which is really kind of shook the cart there a little bit. And people were a little confused about this, and it kind of changed the way we're looking at these stories. And we wonder who's telling the truth here about all this. Yeah, I don't get it. Just weird stuff. But now the Popular Mechanics has unveiled some of this new information. There's a lot of other stuff too. There's some weird reports that they have about people being burned by UFO stuff, but it's really not based on UFOs, so I don't want to get too far in depth in that. So there's a lot of other weird information uncovered. So this is pretty much just hitting the waves right now. It's again, it's the government probably doesn't know that this information was out there. Maybe they did, and they were just kind of hoping it didn't get put out in the public. So Popular Mechanics, way to go, out in front of this story, publishing all this stuff. And they did email the Pentagon senior strategic planner and spokesperson, Susan Gao, who was the one that also denounced everything in December of last year, that, hey, we don't do that. We didn't investigate UAPs, and Elizondo had nothing to do with it. Initially, so Gao responded, she would examine the information, provide a response, but repeated requests for any statement have gone unanswered. What are they hiding from here? Motherboard recently contacted Susan Gao and states that she will release a new public statement about the findings in the following weeks as it pertains to the Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program, or AAWSAP, as well as the ATIP programs. They really got to work on their acronyms, though. It's out of control. It will be interesting to see how the Pentagon will attempt to twist their way out of this one, how they're going to approach basically getting caught in some lies here as well. So the Popular Mechanics also uncovered some information that goes against what some of these latest findings have said. Some of the dates are wrong, and a lot of this information is just incorrect, and it just, I don't know, something just doesn't seem right. Somebody is not telling the truth. I mean, geez, we're finally getting some disclosure about what the government knows and what they've been doing behind closed doors and these black programs, buried budgets and all these other things. And now we're getting a runaround. And somewhere, someone is not telling the truth or doesn't really understand the information, is almost what I'm thinking. I just think that this new spokesperson really wasn't briefed correctly on all the information out there. Doesn't really know what they can say or can't say. But this is a mess. And hopefully, in the next couple of weeks or soon, this is going to get cleared up and we can really understand what exactly is happening out there in regards to this ATIP program and as well as the AAWSAP, OSAP. I don't know how you say those things, or what, just too many words. Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program. Come on. Narrow that down. Jeez. So I don't know. It's just kind of a breaking kind of thing. So I really haven't seen too much about it. But if you have about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes to your, you know, you got a lot of time to kill. The Popular Mechanics article, it's very, very lengthy. It took me quite a while to read it, and then I had to go reread it and look back on some stuff and look it up. And yeah, it just took quite a while. But they poured a lot of information into it. And basically, they've had some documents for a while, and they kind of wanted to research them, which I highly respect. So they took some time with it, and they made sure that this information was researched before they came forward and really talked about it. So very well-researched stuff. And they really kind of show how the government has kind of messed things up a little bit when it comes to this information. I also have a little shorter one. So if you're a little pressed on time, here's a little synopsis. And this one is coming from Vice.com. So kudos to them for a little bit more of a concise article. So I'll throw that in the chat room for you guys. I didn't mean to do it twice, so maybe I'm just messed up here. But yikes, what is going on with the UFO stuff? Just give us some answers. Just be straight with us. So I do have a little bit of time. I'm excited because I really haven't seemed to have time lately. I do want to talk about a story that I didn't get to talk about the last couple of weeks. The story popped in the news feed late January. Actually, January 29th, I really haven't had time the last couple of weeks because I had a lot of stories to talk about. I only got one left after this one, but I'm going to squeeze this one in real quick because I got a little bit of time. So a few weeks ago in Pennsylvania, see, Fayette County, which is in southwest Pennsylvania, a really weird incident occurred. A paranormal investigator, I don't know what this person was doing out in the cemetery. I mean, people don't investigate cemeteries anymore, but honestly, truthfully, that's how I got my start. That's how I started to do that. We didn't know. That's just what we thought we had to do. So this paranormal investigator was out in a cemetery. They called 911 because they heard a female voice screaming that they needed help, that they were buried alive in the dirt. So this unnamed paranormal investigator called 911. Dispatchers got a hold of Trooper Jonathan M. Mosier, who reported to the Rural Evergreen Cemetery on Morgantown Road in Spring Hill Township. This is actually in the morning, so I think that's really even weirder to say. You would expect this to happen at midnight or the witching hour, or whatever hour that is, whichever coast you're on, I guess it's different. But 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. Again, the paranormal investigator was telling 911 dispatchers that he heard a female's voice screaming, "Help! Help! I'm buried alive." So prior to the arrival of troopers, the man reportedly had somehow gotten a hold of a shovel and was digging in the vicinity of a shed where he thought he heard the female voice screaming. Deputy, or the trooper, I should say, reported to the area, could not find any female anywhere, buried or otherwise. And the trooper cleared the scene and continued to patrol, be on his way. So no person was found. No other information available. And I've kind of tried to follow up on the story and still have not. Nothing was ever reported other than that single story from a local, well, basically a local report from the Fayette County area. Just kind of really random, weird stuff. You wouldn't expect a ghost thing in the morning, and you certainly don't hear people talking about hearing ghost voices saying sentences in that regard. And my first thought was, okay, if a person is buried, how are you going to hear somebody screaming coherently like that if they're under dirt? But I don't know, maybe they watch too much Supernatural, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I do have a link for that one as well. I finally can take that one off my plate. I've had that one, gosh, for 3 weeks now, I think. So good thing I can finally don't have to carry that story around anymore, which is weird stuff. I just thought that was the weirdest story I've read all year. I know, I deal with a lot of weird stuff, but Vice is not fake news, as far as I know. And that's why, again, another reason why I take these stories and I research them beyond what the headlines are behind the scenes. So Vice is basically just reporting what Popular Mechanics does. Vice gets a little bit edgy stuff sometimes. They like to push the envelope of the media, but Popular Mechanics is where this story originated. So they do have links within that story, I believe, that take you to other information which you can validate. So it's good. It's good. I mean, but I always check sources. So if a random one story says that this happened and I can't find anything else to support that, I'm probably not going to talk about it here on the show. Because there is a lot of fake news. There's a lot of people out there that that create their own news and have bought their own channels. There's a rash of new channels that are out there, new websites, I should say, that are out there that are reporting like old news and doing little twists with it, and as well as creating new stuff that's fake. So it's the same stuff year after year. We just have to learn how to dodge these stories and do our due diligence. And, you know, I'm not just the kind of show that just takes these stories and just reads it to you online. I do the research behind it because I think it's important to give you the accurate information and not just the headline and my opinion. Although I will still give you my opinion whether you like it or not, so deal with it. Last but not certainly not least, this is probably one of my favorite stories of the year that I can remember. I know it's only February 18th, but this is an awesome story. I'm really really into. Well, maybe not the general topic. Let me start this, and then we'll get into why the reason is that I like this story a lot. So the Bermuda Triangle, not a topic that we talk about a lot here on the Paranormal News Insider. Very rarely. I think it's been a few years since I've talked about the Bermuda Triangle here on the show. But every now and again, the mysterious area pokes its head into the news. And it's back. February 9th, the Science Channel debuted a new show titled Shipwreck Secrets. So I love shipwrecks. I don't know why, what happened, what the reasoning is behind shipwrecks, why I find them so fascinating. I do live near Lake Erie, about 30 miles from Lake Erie, which is full of all sorts of shipwrecks from various eras under the water. I've seen a few of them from the surface. I've dove to a couple of them, but couldn't stay in the water too long because it was kind of cold, even in the summertime. So I've seen some of these shipwrecks here in my home state of Ohio. I've also visited Florida, South Florida. You go to Key West, where they used to actually go down, and it was a business. They're going down and taking care of these shipwrecks and bringing up, you know, any kind of fines getting money for it and different things. So Shipwreck Historium, I believe the building is called, down there in Key West. So kind of fed my fascination with that. And as well as all of the history that goes with shipwrecks. And of course, I'm a big, in case you didn't know, I'm a big pirate fanatic. I love the era of pirates, not just the movies and stuff that you see, like all the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff. That's kind of sort of somewhat garbage. I mean, there's some interesting stuff about that, but the true history, the real stuff that's gone on behind the scenes, big Black Sails fan, if you've ever seen that TV show way back when, that's probably been years ago now. It was back on the Starz channel, but enjoy pirate history and the whole cultural stuff behind it, but also shipwrecks. And I have some pirate coins, pirate era coins from the 1600s, and very fascinated with a shipwreck called the Atocha, which went down a long, long time ago. But this is a little bit more recent shipwreck here that I'm talking about. And again, this is from the Science Channel TV show that just debuted. It's been 9 days ago, I guess. There was probably another one out. So it's called Shipwreck Secrets. And they do kind of, this first episode is really around the Bermuda Triangle. So they try to, in this episode, they first examine a mysterious wreck that had been discovered over two decades ago, but was still not known what the shipwreck was. So they ultimately solved that mystery in the first half of the episode, which is, I think it was like an hour and a half. There's a lot of commercials in it if you watch it online. You can watch it for free, but yeah, you have to deal with a lot of commercials. Same commercials over and over. It's the worst. I think I've seen the one Allstate commercial like 27 times in the hour and a half. But anyway, they ultimately solved the mystery in the first half of the episode through trial and error and narrowing down a list of potential ships based on the visual evidence of the ship and the physical evidence discovered aboard. The second half of the show focused on the story of a shipwreck known as the Bear Wreck that was discovered around the 1970s. In the St. Augustine, Florida area. So on the Atlantic Ocean side, more north, obviously south of Jacksonville, but way north of your Miami, Cocoa Beach, all that stuff area. The Bear Wreck, as it's called, but it's not because of the name of the ship. The name of the ship is still unknown. That is until this TV show. Michael Barnett had been investigating this wreck off and on for about 15 years, pretty much since he started to dive for wrecks. The crew used research, including a distress signal, as well as searching the wreck for looking for clues for the name of the ship. Barnett had focused on the wreck most possibly being the Cotopaxi, based on a distress call heard in St. Augustine by the ship, as well as a valve that was discovered on the wreck that was made about 12 miles east to where the Cotopaxi was built in Detroit, Michigan. Actually, that'll be west. They also made a dive to measure key components of the structure and compare them to blueprints of the Cotopaxi. So the Cotopaxi may sound familiar to you, but let me explain what that is. The Cotopaxi was on a routine trip to deliver coal to Havana, Cuba, from South Carolina. The ship left Charleston, South Carolina on November 29, 1925, with a crew of 32. The ship had long been fuel for those who pushed the Bermuda Triangle mystery as the ship disappeared without a trace. Somewhere along that route, many thinking that it happened in the Bermuda Triangle, which extends from Bermuda to Miami and then on out to Puerto Rico, according to some people. Other people, it actually goes all the way to Key West and other points all along that. But pretty much Bermuda, that's the anchor point, no matter what you want to say on the northern tier there. But yes, the Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Triangle, is such a dangerous place. And this is one of the world's greatest unsolved mysteries overall. But the Cotopaxi is one of the leading ships in the whole list of disappearing objects. A lot of them are planes. There's a lot of mysteries about planes. But also the Cotopaxi is one of the ships that has gone down as one of the biggest stories. Well, how big? Well, the Cotopaxi was featured. You might remember this, especially if you're a UFO person. The Cotopaxi was featured in the 1977 Steven Spielberg movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So the Cotopaxi was discovered fully intact, sitting in the Gobi Desert in that movie. And so the kind of thing was thought that aliens had taken the ship and instead of putting it back where it belonged, dropped it in the desert, the Gobi Desert. So that was the kind of an absurd thing to some of the people who were trying to solve this mystery themselves. But another weird twist of the story, May 18th, 2015, reports surfaced. Yes, reports surfaced. That's a pun. On the World News Daily Report, which is a fictitious news site pretty much, that the Cotopaxi was discovered floating and was intercepted by the Cuban Coast Guard floating off the coast of Cuba with no living people aboard and no dead people either. It was just empty, rusted ship just floating. The website, unfortunately, is a parody website that creates fake news. But the story, honestly, it still persists. I looked up stuff on the Cotopaxi and I found numerous, numerous YouTube videos that still talk about the story and kind of state it as a matter of fact that this ship was actually discovered in 2015. Not true. Not true. A legal battle after the disappearance of the Cotopaxi back in 1925 showed that the hatch covers were in horrible shape. So as the ship was traveling along the coast of Florida in the Atlantic Ocean, if there was a storm or anything, that water could seep into the coal, fill up that area, and sink the ship. Well, the ship owners of Clinchfield, which is the owner of the ship at the time, claimed that a storm was responsible for the sinking of the ship. But the fact that the hatch covers more than likely failed, it's certain that the ship more than likely sank due to the cargo holds unable to keep water out. And these guys actually did the research on the weather and did see that there was a storm in that area at the time. The ship was heading through that area from Charleston, South Carolina, down to Havana, Cuba. But it wasn't the storm that sank the ship. The ship has gone through a number of storms prior to that. So more than likely, that was what occurred. So also in the legal battle was a key fact of the location of the last distress call, which they knew it was around the St. Augustine area. But this report gave specific coordinates of the ship, which would have put the Cotopaxi along the same pathway as the Bear Wreck, especially at the time that it was sinking. So the Bear Wreck is now known as the Cotopaxi, and it's officially discovered based on this information, tying everything together. So it pulls that one off the list of ships that were purportedly sunk by the Bermuda Triangle and the area where it was discovered off the coast of St. Augustine, about 25 miles off, nowhere near the Bermuda Triangle. It's close. But how close do you really honestly say that it matters? Very far away, in my opinion. So the Cotopaxi mystery, again, can be seen in the first episode of the Shipwreck Secrets on the Science Channel. And again, you can go to sciencechannel.com. And I think it's sciencechannel.com. Well, anyway, their website, you can find it. You can search it. Just search Shipwreck Secrets, and you can watch this for free online. It's pretty interesting if you're into that kind of thing. And you can see all the evidence, all the things that they did to discover this ship. So this find explained the Bermuda Triangle. I've seen a lot of reports saying that, oh, this puts the mystery to rest, that the Bermuda Triangle does not exist. Well, no, it doesn't explain the Bermuda Triangle away, although it does take this key vessel from the lineup of ships and aircraft associated with this dangerous area. It seems that time and time again, the Triangle mystery loses its strength as ships and planes that are not really lost in the areas that many explain as the Bermuda Triangle. But the mysteries of the ocean, well, they won't go quietly. And gosh, we're still waiting for Amelia Earhart. I don't know what's going on with her. But yes, it's 9 o'clock. But little do you guys know in the chat room that actually recorded this show for Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio last night. So I don't have to be there live in person. So yes, 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight, right now. You can head on over to BigfootEyewitness.com and listen about the Ohio Grassman and Bigfoot in the Buckeye State. But I've already recorded it last night. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But that's all the news I have for you tonight. So you can head on over and listen about the Grassman. So I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.